like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. How somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome again to Hope is Alive, a program teaching that hope is alive through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only for your eternal salvation, but for salvation here on this earth through deliverance from sickness, spiritual attacks, curses, demons, yes, I said demons, and from Satan himself. We have all the power over the enemy, and it's time we learn to walk in that power. This week we'll hear testimony from various doctors about their experience with deliverance and the medical profession. These testimonies come from a ministry in Oklahoma City called Deliverance Ministries. You can find out more about them at www.delmin.org. Now, I know a lot of you have already been to that site because you've made your concerns known to us. Please listen tonight as I, with scripture and examples from the Bible, address those concerns. I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray that we have nothing but the truth and the truth of God. I ask that you prepare your hearts for truth, not what you think is true, not what I think is true, but what is God's truth. And the fact that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hope is alive.
When the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead, and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong. When there is silence, hope gives us song. Up there in a world that seems so wrong, hope lives on.
Last week we had some responses to this Hope is Alive program. We had one who I believe is a sincere Christian lady contact us. But let me say this, I believe she was sincerely wrong. On her first testimony last week, we had a young woman that was delivered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ from a spirit of death, a demonic spirit upon her that wanted her family and wanted her dead. Her children were delivered. They were set free from bondages that, had they not been dealt with through the power and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they would have carried those bondages throughout their generations. For how long, we don't know. But now her children are set free. She's set free. They're walking in a Christian walk that they've never been able to walk into before because of the bondages that Satan had put on them. This lady, with her concern, said that as soon as she heard the woman say she rededicated her life, she was led by the Holy Spirit to immediately turn the radio off. Really? The Holy Spirit is going to tell you to turn off a radio from a testimony of someone being set free from the spirit of death by the blood of Jesus Christ? Really? I would suspect that because this woman didn't say, "I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," that's why she turned the radio off, because she didn't say it exactly right. I believe that this woman being delivered was a baptized believer, but maybe not. What if she wasn't? But she will be if she keeps listening to the Lord. I know that the hindrances upon her that Satan had put on her are gone. Do you think now she might stand a better chance of seeing the truth and hearing the truth about baptism? I know for a fact that where she was delivered, where she was prayed for, where she was set free teaches baptism. Now, before you all climb on your high horse, I want you to hear me. This ministry, Scriptures for America Worldwide, this program believes the scriptures that says repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I will show you later in this program in scripture how your haughtiness, your legalism, your shibboleth is destroying the body of Christ. But before we do, I want you to listen to a testimony from a doctor of psychiatry that discovered that sometimes she's not dealing with a damaged brain, but a spiritual entity out to destroy a person in which it dwells.
And even people in the medical field are pulling the strongholds down. They're finding that not everything is medical, but they're also finding that not everything is spiritual. That there's a balance, there's apt to be the flesh, there's apt to be the spirits. And it's not always easy to tell. But here to share with us today in this area of deliverance, and I'm excited to have her on the program again, I'd like to welcome Dr. Twyla Fox, MD and a psychiatrist. Dr. Fox, good to have you again.
It's good to be back with you, Everett. God bless you.
Twyla, let's talk some about this area that that not everything is medical, but also that not everything is spiritual. What do you find in your work in the medical and the spiritual area? You're actually one of the few people around that's qualified to wear both hats.
Well, thank you. You're kind. I would say that there must be balance in all things. And in this field, we cannot call everything a demon spirit that we wrestle against. Now, many of those things that we really wrestle and struggle against are the demonic spirits. However, we, through our natural mind and our natural appetites, which is synonymous with the word flesh, or our carnal bodies, our beings, we have permitted at some point those things to take hold of us, either actively or passively. We actively open ourselves and give place to the devil through our sinful lifestyles, or we have neglected to fill ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and holiness, so that we have inadvertently opened ourselves to the enemy.
It sounds to me like, Twyla, that you're talking about Galatians 5:19 quite a bit here, the works of the flesh.
Yes, we do have a natural mind and a body, and we have physical appetites. We have thoughts that go through these minds, and this Christian walk must be a walk of discipline. In any area of life, if we would gain any measure of success, we must practice. We must exercise self-control. We must exercise good judgment and good habits. And wherein we don't practice good mental health, we don't practice good spiritual health, and discipline ourselves, control ourselves, but rather than giving vent to everything, every thought that comes through the mind, then we're going to get into trouble. As you were discussing just a moment ago, there is a natural anger that can be healthy and appropriate. On the other hand, there can be an anger that is violent, that comes unbidden, that is illogical, that consumes and gains control of the individual. And in those kind of cases, ordinarily there is a spirit of anger or violence or whatever, or temper, that comes upon that person. And they would need it to be cast out by someone who is knowledgeable in that area. But at the same time, we are to control ourselves, not to give place. You know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't nurse it. Mm-hmm. Don't nurse a grudge. Don't wallow in it. Don't justify yourself for all of this, because it tends, with the lingering of it, to give place to a spirit being attracted to you and taking up lodging on your shoulder, in your mind, or in your fists, or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Certainly our experience, Twyla, is just that way. We see out here that there are natural levels of everything as we work with people, natural anger levels, natural lust levels. If we didn't have lust, I mean, or at least some interest in that area, we'd probably never reproduce, would we? And anger has its place, just as Jesus had anger in the temple when he turned the tables over, the money changers. So we see natural levels of this, but when it's chronic, it's what we normally counsel people when they call. An obsession, something's overcoming in their life, it may not be a demon, but it's probably worth checking out at that point. And as I've mentioned to people from time to time, I like to shoot first and ask questions later. You know, there's no downside in coming against a suspect that you might have on a list here. I'd rather, when I interview people and get a suspect list up, I'd rather have too many on the list than too few. And if there isn't a demon there, well, in Jesus' name, it's not going to bother the Lord, you know. But if it's a demon, it'll sure start squirming.
I would like to say something that would be of a preventative nature here, and also something pleasing to the Lord. Paul has several phrases in his writings, one being Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then another place he writes, till Christ be formed in you. So that if we are actively throughout our daily lives filling ourselves with the love of God and meditating upon the fact that as born-again Christians, we carry around the Lord Jesus within our bodies. And with him and the help of the Holy Spirit, as we grow and the Holy Spirit gains access to our minds and we have developed an intimate relationship with him, we will quickly know and be repulsed by that which is repulsive to Christ. Mm-hmm. We will shun the wicked and choose the pure and the holy. We will separate the precious from the vile, as Jesus did. And I believe that as we grow more to be like him, and as we practice the knowing the presence of God in and around us, we will obtain deliverance by godly living. Yeah. So I believe that when the enemy sees that we have set our faces like a flint to follow Jesus, and we're going to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and the knowledge of the Word of God and in the fellowshipping with Jesus on a daily basis through prayer and through praise, then the enemy says, "Aw, shucks," and he turns tail and runs. Yeah. And how many times as I have set a patient down and began to pray deliverance over them as I led them through the prayers of repentance. And repentance is a very important activity. But as I've led them through those things and confession of those sins they've indulged in, or forgiveness and releasing of persons they've held a grudge at, I will see the tears begin to flow from their eyes. I will see a smile and a quick eruption of joy. As they begin to get deliverance, the shackles begin to fall off, yes, even at that stage of the game.
It's the person making a decision, again, to come to Jesus and to follow Jesus, to reach out and touch his garment, to follow his teachings, to repent, to turn away from where they've been and come to Jesus and his righteousness. That's what. That's certainly where deliverance starts, and that's why we see deliverance come about in many ways. You do not have to have just a sit-down deliverance with somebody on a one-to-one. Each person, many times when they're born again, people are delivered right there. And then other times it seems to vary. Were they truly repentant? I don't know. Or maybe they had some unforgiveness and bitterness and that kind of thing.
I have a thought upon that. Everett, I do not believe that in general today the depth or the level or the quality of the new births are of the quality or the substance that they once were. We've been at our church in Tulsa, we've been having a revivalist preach. And he said, "Folks, today we're having too many dry births." Mm-hmm. Dry births are births with no tears. They're births where they get up from the altar, if they even knelt, mm-hmm, in the first place. Mm-hmm. They say a quickie 5-minute prayer or a 5-second prayer, acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ and that I believe him. Nothing has happened. It's only in the mouth and in the mind. Nothing has penetrated that heart. Mm-hmm. And the old-fashioned kind that we used to see at an old-fashioned altar where they got down on their knees, acknowledge, "My God, I am a sinner. I have lived in a way, unbecoming." And when we truly repent and recognize our need for the Savior, then he comes in full measure when we have opened in full measure to him. And when we get up, we don't need anybody to tell us to quit drinking and smoking and cursing and a life of sin and adultery. When we get up, we're changed, and we have a relationship at the heart level with God the Father, and we are new creatures in him.
Now, I know a lot of you men out there are screaming right now, "Quick, honey, quick, give me some peroxide. Let me wash out my ears. A woman taught me something, or I heard a woman teach." Let me show you something in the scripture. And the reason I bring that up, the only reason I bring that up is because last week someone complained because a woman was singing a worship song on one of our programs. Really? Acts 18:24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and a mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He didn't even know about baptism. He may not have even known that the Lord was crucified, but he knew the Lord. Acts 18:26 says, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla," women's names, hear that, Aquila and Priscilla, "heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Also, this woman spoke of dry repentance, when you don't repent. I think one of the problems with our ministry is that too many people hear the part, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins," and they don't hear the line, "Repent in the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins." I think the Lord's got a lot more grace for someone that's truly repentful than someone that's just truly wet behind the ears from baptism. So I want you to think about that as you listen to this next testimony here on Hope is Alive.
Well, I've had several of those, and I really didn't know much about that either. And I came home one night, and she wanted me to come in and pray with her over somebody that she was trying to deliver from some demonic strongholds. And this lady started manifesting herself, and she would, be praying against it, and I was praying with her, and it went on for a couple of hours, and she'd already been praying with her for about an hour or two, and it was just absolutely unbelievable.
What went on?
What went on?
What happened?
Well, she'd prayed with her, and she would just manifest, and the demon would be delivered, and we were through, and
it actually talked through her mouth.
Well, she'd do that, or just she could just feel it coming out her top of her head, or it just happened. This lady was totally exhausted, just dripping sweat, and they were talking, and they said, "Well, it looks like we've done everything." And my wife started going through, we've gone through this stronghold and that stronghold, and da 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 da. And then finally, she mentioned the fear. And all of a sudden, she started manifesting again. And she was over there just talking, relaxed. And when she mentioned fear, the demon raised up again. And she said, "Oh, we have another spirit. We have the spirit of fear is not gone." So anyway, she prayed over, and we got that spirit out, and she was relieved. And the lady's life has absolutely been changed around.
That's our Jesus setting the people free.
And, absolutely.
Many Christians have never seen this type of ministry, this works of Jesus that he told us to do so clearly. They've never seen this kind of thing happen. And I was age 44 before I ever saw it, and I was born again when I was 13.
Yeah. I've never seen it before, and it was just, and I've seen it several times since then, and and I know that not every time anybody manifests, but the four that I've been around, three of them have been the people have manifested in when they're casting out the demons, and their voice changes, their veins pop out, their whole facial expression changes, and it's just been unbelievable what I've seen.
Something you'd kind of expect to see in the Hollywood movies.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Just blows everybody away, and I'm as surprised as anybody, and I've been at it since 1978, and it's still an amazing thing. But the exciting part about it is that the people's lives are turned around, and those tormenting areas are now gone.
Well, I think that's even more dramatic than the manifestation that these people go through. I mean, their lives literally are changed. I mean, they talk about, seeing things and hearing things in their mind, and like somebody's talking to them. But I mean, their lives once this happens, I mean, these three people that I know of, their lives have been dramatically changed. Dramatically. I mean, where they were just ready to commit suicide, almost to the point of just out in service and loving people and just totally committed to the Lord, and it's just
180 degree change.
I mean, 180. I mean,
yes.
People don't recognize them. I mean, they're just not by their looks, just non-recognizable by the way their life has changed.
Well, that's our Jesus. Well, Dr. Huffmeyer, you even had a personal experience concerning your back, perhaps a spirit of infirmity of the back in ministry. Could you share that quickly?
Well, I had pulled a muscle or dislocated my back somehow. I could not even walk. I couldn't walk, couldn't get out of bed. I was just, I've had muscle pulls and torn muscles, but I've just never had anything quite like this. And I'd gone to a chiropractor, and he didn't seem to really be able to help me much. And, you know, I'd just been taking muscle relaxers and heating pads, and I mean, I just was it was just miserable. I couldn't sleep, couldn't hardly breathe, and was pretty much down, because this had gone on for about 3 or 4 days. And, you know, usually when I hit something like that, it would happen, you know, a couple of days, and it's over, and I'm okay. And I mean, it's been 3 or 4 days, and I was just miserable. And you came over one night and said, you want to pray for me? And I said, that's fine. You know, I'm pretty miserable. I mean, nothing, you can't hurt. And
my price was real good, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't one.
And then, you know, you prayed for me, and you said, pull out your legs, I'm going to lengthen your legs. And I said, that's fine. And you prayed for me for the legs to lengthen out. And I said, okay. And all of a sudden, it looked like they were straightening out a little bit. And I said, well, that's kind of funny. And you said, well, it looks like it's lengthened out to me. Why don't you get up and walk? And I said, well, I can't stand up. My back is killing me. And he said, well, go ahead and get up and see how it feels. And I mean, I stood up, and I had no more pain from that time on.
Praise God. I was absolutely
amazed.
Well, that's our Jesus again. Amen.
Amen.
The total healer.
I think I was more shocked than anybody. I wasn't expecting it, I think. You know, you just don't know what to expect.
Your faith wasn't real strong at that point.
When you're that far down, you just don't really have a lot of faith.
Yeah, you're pounded down with the pain.
Yes.
Yeah. And even your son, Chad, had an experience that was similar that very time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You did the same thing for him, and his pain went immediately away.
He had a short leg as well, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of those, and backs healed accordingly when the short leg grows out, or short arm, sometimes the upper back area, and a short arm will grow out. The healing seems to come. It's just,
yes.
But what's neat is it isn't a special gift. This is normal Christianity, all of this that we're talking about. This is for all Christians to do. We all can do it if we just will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you I'm shocked by it, because I'm a doctor and I'm in medicine, and you know, my belief is medicine's going to cure this. And if it doesn't, then you know, it can't be cured. And when you came to pray for me, it was really, well, that's fine. Prayers that can't help me. You know, I love prayer, and that will be great. But I had no expectations. And to be totally healed was just absolutely amazing to me.
Amen. Well, we serve an amazing God. Amen.
Now, I know that some of you have concerns. And I know some of you mean well. But I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, said to the apostles. Mark 9:38, John said unto him, Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able to quickly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink, because ye are Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall in no wise lose your reward. Now there's many of you that wouldn't give these people a cup of water. There's many of you that would not listen to a testimony of them because you said they didn't say something right or they weren't baptized right. Well, how are they ever going to learn the truth unless you step up and accept them as a brother? Because as Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able to quickly speak evil of me. Let me tell you, this ministry in Oklahoma City has for 32 years delivered people from the bondages of Satan. And if you've got a problem with that, then there's something wrong with your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're the one that needs to repent and do something about it, not this ministry and not Scriptures for America.
I went back to school. The Lord just opened all kinds of doors for me to go back to school, and I became a chiropractor just 2 months before I was 50 years old, and during the time I was at Palmer, I was in two auto accidents. And prior to that time, I had already had two auto accidents, so my neck was already kind of a wreck, but chiropractic had always helped me before. But at this point, it wasn't helping me. And I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to school for, you know, to become a chiropractor if I'm not going to be helping anybody? This is, you know, it's not a financial thing. This is not why I want to go to school. I want to help people. And a friend of mine, I had tried every chiropractic technique available. A friend of mine took me to Tulsa, Oklahoma with her over break, and I was going to school in Danforth, Iowa. So that was quite a ways to go to get adjusted. But after the adjustment, I no longer had headaches, which I'd experienced daily on a daily basis. Chiropractic had helped alleviate the pain somewhat, but I still had daily headaches. And so I had to learn this technique. It was called NUCA, National Upper Cervical Chiropractic Association, is what the acronym stands for. And so I set to work and learned how to do this technique. And when I graduated, I was licensed in Iowa, Oklahoma, and Nevada. And I started practicing near home in Iowa. And then I had an opportunity to move to Oklahoma a year and a half later to start building my own practice. And so that's what I did. And little did I know, Oklahoma is the Bible buckle. No, it's such, so great being here. And I just began growing more and more in the Lord. And I pray all the time for my patients. I don't adjust without praying first. And about a couple of weeks ago, I had my first real miracle. God just really blessed a little girl that goes to our church. Well, I call her a little girl because she's in her early 20s. Came in. Her mother was a patient prior to this time. She came in and started telling me her history. She had been in four auto accidents. And the Holy Spirit just led me to pray for her right then and there, because I could see in the spirit of destruction on her. And I just rebuked it by the blood of Christ Jesus and cast it away from her. And I went and proceeded with the exam, and her ranges of motion were just really, really limited. I could see where she really had had a lot of damage in her spine. And I went ahead with the x-rays and started analyzing them. And I looked at them, analyzed them again, and I thought, there's nothing, there's no misalignment in this vertebra. And it just dawned on me, hey, the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they will be cured, they will be healed. And so we went back and did the ranges of motion and the orthoneurals again, and she had above and beyond normal range of motion. And she'd been having heart problems and difficulty breathing. Her mother told me...
You couldn't do that range of movement before.
No, absolutely not. I have that documented in writing. And her mother said all afternoon that she had a warm sensation on her chest. And this, and her mother also clarified that the daughter actually appeared to be taller. And when the spine straightens, this is what happens. And the girl herself remarked when she left the office, she says, I feel taller. the Lord has just really, really blessed her. And she's just on fire for the Lord now. So it's, and her best friend is too. It's just amazing how God works. It's just amazing. Then a couple days later, a former patient that had been coming to me, had just started coming as a new patient prior to, before the Christmas holiday, I had adjusted her very first alignment had shown 5.5 degrees of laterality in her very top vertebra, and she was very out of alignment. And after adjusting her, I was only able to take out 3 degrees of that laterality, so she still had 2.5 degrees according to the film. And so she came in right after the holidays, and I checked her, and her misalignment was different. I could tell because her hip differentiation was a degree more than when she'd even first come to me, and her neck was leaning to the opposite direction. And so I knew that I had to do something different. So I told her I was going to have to take more films before I would dare adjust her. And so She wasn't able to at that time, so she came back at a later time, and I rechecked her again, and the same problem. And so I was going to take the films, and the other doctor, Dr. Clark, was taking films, so I couldn't at the time, so I just did ranges of motion with her, and her ranges of motion were limited even further than before. And so I went in and started taking the films, and she shared with me that she was going to have surgery the following week, and she was very concerned about this because when she'd had surgery before, she'd gone into shock. And so the Spirit again led me to pray for her, which I did, and she I rebuked the spirit of destruction again. He's a biggie. and just prayed for healing for her. And she told me when she was sitting in the chair being x-rayed that she had a burning-like sensation, a warm sensation going down the back of her leg. And she says, "It feels like you adjusted me, Dr. Kelly." And I went in to analyze her films, and her films showed no laterality. And this is proof that the Holy Spirit adjusted that woman, because I also did ranges of motion afterwards and checked her posture. They were back to normal again. And that's proof on x-ray before and after.
Hallelujah. That is marvelous, Dr. Kelly. You know, that's... it's so neat because of the fact that you had the x-rays and things, and you know, and then here's the change. But God is the greatest chiropractor of all. Amen. You can't beat him as the great physician. Hallelujah. And it's so wonderful to see that you're praying like that, and even rebuking spirits. Of course, in the deliverance ministry, as we are, we see spirits of destruction all the time. The destroyer is a very common spirit. It's right in there with the spirit of death, you know. Well, we know they come to kill, destroy, and steal, John 10:10. So you can figure all of those are pretty heavy, big ones, you know, strongholds in people, strong men of the house many times. So how neat that you are practicing what you've been taught in the medical area, but also practicing what the Word has showed you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for being on the program today.
You know, a lot of people in this ministry use different versions of the Bible, but most of all of them use the ASV, the American Standard Version. Some of them still cling to the good old King James Version, and they can't go wrong there. But I've got a version that fits a lot of you people that have been writing into this, and it's a little known version. It's called the HIBTYA version. It's called Haughty, I'm Better Than You Are version. And let me show you an example of the different scriptures in this version. In Luke 8:43, it says, "A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all of her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any, and should have stayed in her home because she was unclean according to the word of the Lord, came behind Jesus, who only I understand, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the issue of her blood staunched, but it shouldn't have, because she was unclean. And Jesus rightly screamed, 'Who is it that touched me?' And when all denied, Peter said, 'And they were here with you, Master. The multitudes pressed, and they crushed thee.' And Jesus said, 'Someone did touch me, for I perceive that an unclean, filthy woman that is disobeying the law laid her filthy hands upon me, for power hath gone forth from me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and declared in all the presence of the people for the cause that she touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, 'You filthy woman, get away from me.' And he restored her illness as it was before." Now, is that the version that you have? If that version is upon your hearts, then you need to do something about it, because that's the way a lot of you people are acting. We've got a ministry here, and we've got people out there in this world that need to be set free. And you're so hung up on words, or you're so hung up on this, or you're so hung up on that, or something's not said exactly right, or someone sang this song, that our people are perishing. According to you, Jesus would have had nothing to do with that woman, because you would have had nothing to do with that woman. Let me read you how the scripture really goes in Luke 8:43. "And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all of her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the issue of her blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who is it that touched me?' And when all denied, Peter said, 'And they that were with him, Master, the multitudes pressed thee and crushed thee.' But Jesus said, 'Someone did touch me, for I perceived that power had gone forth from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. That that woman may have known nothing other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ up until the point that she heard about him. Maybe she was sitting at her window in her home because she couldn't go out because she was unclean, and the Pharisees would have had nothing to do with her. Well, you would have had nothing to do with her either. But this woman heard someone mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she says, I'm going to go find that man, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and I'm going to be healed because he is the Savior. People, we have to get over this. We have people that are dying, that are perishing, that are losing their lives, losing their walk with the Lord because people like us won't touch them. How are we ever going to reach people if we judge them so harshly? You know, these people are preaching Jesus Christ. These people are teaching Jesus Christ. They're teaching the blood of Jesus Christ. They're teaching he can deliver. He's teaching that they can cast out demons. What is that scripture in Mark? What does it say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I want you to ponder this. Are we doing this? Are we as a ministry doing this? Are you doing this? Is this part of your daily Christian walk? Well, if it's not, we need to find out why. Because it's what Jesus said. It's a command. Go ye into all the world. So stick with this ministry. Listen to us. Pray for us. We pray for you, that we might find the greater things of the Lord and how to set our people free from the bondages that's upon them. That's our desire. We're not straying. We're not getting off the path. We're looking for what is it going to take to deliver our people from the snares of Satan.
Well, I'm on a phone patch. I'm on long distance on the phone. With a beautiful testimony. Yes, it's showing that Jesus really is setting the captives free. And you know, if he'll set one free, he'll set another free. He's no respecter of persons. And there may be some listening today that can relate to this brother's testimony. I'd like to welcome to the program Brother Carl Sturber. Good to have you, Carl.
Great to be here.
Carl, it was nearly a year ago that here you are in the Dallas area, and you came up to Oklahoma City nearly a year ago now, and why don't you explain to the listeners some of the things that was going on in your life at that time?
Well, it's pretty close to about a year ago to the day. I was starting to dabble back into the dope again, and I have a really good job, and every year about this time we get a pretty good size bonus check, and all of a sudden I had a big chunk of money, and next thing I knew, the devil made a bunch of drugs available to me, and the next thing I knew, I was buying them, and I didn't have no way to stop. I'd always had a stop mechanism in myself. I said, well, it's time to stop, but this time, yeah, I just couldn't stop. Well, they just had control over me totally, and I had a good brother, Ted Mercer, that I knew that had helped me before, and I went up.
You'd grown up with Ted, hadn't you?
Yes, sir. I grew up with Ted, known him ever since about the first or second grade. And he's a preacher now in Anadarko, and I went up and talked to him, and he told me about you, so had to come back and spend probably the worst week of my life back in Dallas before I went back up on that next Monday to see you. And
why was it such a bad week? You mean the waiting, or?
Well, now the waiting, and boy, I'll tell you, the devil tried every trick in the book to keep me from going up there. You know, and boy, finally I just grabbed a hold of the Bible and the.
I remember you had told me, too, that you felt like something was driving you to take additional doses each time. And
oh, yeah. I was, if anybody out there has anything familiar to do with cocaine, you know you have to increase the amount you do each time, or basically you're just not feeling anything.
You don't achieve the high you were at before.
Exactly, yeah. And I knew this, and so I had planned to do that, but after each increasing amount, boy, it was just getting to the point where I was dropping to my knees and falling around, and for some reason, that last shot, I think probably would have killed me if I'd have took it all, but praise God, somehow, some way, right before I did it, you may think it's just common sense. Well, the guy came to his senses and he didn't do the whole thing, but I was there ready to do the thing, had the thing in my arm, you know, I was ready to do it, but I didn't, so I stopped. So I think God just stepped in and said, no, you fixed to kill yourself, and that's why I'm still alive to be able to tell that story.
So what prompted you to think it might be something beyond the natural that was driving you?
Well, because I just didn't have any control. Usually, like I said earlier, I was able to get to a quitting and a stopping point. You know, I'd I'm going to go out and sow my little oats and have a little bit of fun, but this time I couldn't stop it. You know, I'd done some ridiculous, insane stuff, come home, tell my wife, well, I'm going to be in the bathroom doing dope, leave me alone, you know. I would never have done that. There was a force in me that said that, you know, you were going to do this, and no one's going to stop you. I was doing it at work, I was doing it everywhere, so it was, I had no control over it like I used to have.
Out of control. Well, so you talked to Pastor Ted Mercer at Grace Church in Anadarko, and you all wound up coming up here that Monday, and as it turns out, Channel 5, the local TV station here, was wanting to video some actual ministry, and we had asked the other people if anyone would mind. No one seemed to have won any ministry, but since you were from Dallas, I remember you said, well, I don't know anybody up here. I guess it'd be okay for them to minister or video my ministry.
Well, you know, I didn't care. I came up there for one reason, that was to get free. You know, I had that totally and soul in my mind, and that's why I went up there. And I do have quite a few friends that live up in Oklahoma City, but they wouldn't recognize me without my long hair and kind of outlook, you know. But
you're in the inventory business down in the Dallas area there, so you've kind of adapted to the world's ways, I guess, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
The business world.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, when you came up and we got into it, what do you remember happening that night?
Well, to tell you the truth, you sent me an audio tape of that of some of the stuff that happened. I guess basically the what they had filmed on Channel 5 or whatever channel it was there. But what I can basically remember was I had a an in and out of consciousness and awareness. I was aware that you were talking to me, and then I was aware that you were talking to somebody else, and somebody else was talking through me, and it was kind of scary at the time. My wife was there; she could tell me basically a lot about what happened that I didn't know, because she was in there praying with y'all at the same time. And basically, what I remember is that I had a lot of bad stuff in me. And,
I know that evening we got hold of, it must have been two or three dozen spirits, and many of them actually talked through you or reacted with you, and as we would address them and get hold of them by their name, they would talk right through you. And one of them, I remember, was a spirit of death working in conjunction with the spirit of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, that's true. I've been a musician earlier in my life, and grew up in the party world of being a musician, and there's probably a little bit of witchcraft dabbling in there that I wasn't even really aware of.
Yeah, we got hold of a spirit of witchcraft as well, and
yeah.
I remember it said, I asked it how it came in, and it said it came in through your guitar music.
Yeah, that was really wild. And tell you the truth, that's one of the one thing I can remember is that was one of the last things that happened.
Yes.
Because I can remember I was screaming so loud. All of a sudden I could hear myself screaming. And I didn't, if you've ever screamed, I mean, we wasn't in a big tunnel or anything, but it sounded like I was in a big tunnel. And it was just echoing. And then I guess when the demon finally left, there was just such an unbelievable peace that it's just undescribable. And I've been living in that peace ever since then.
Praise God. And that spirit of death and alcohol and drugs, of course, was a big one. And it had been one of your major problems, as we just talked about. So it came out, and here's Channel 5 got all this on video. They were somewhat astonished at the reactions of these things actually talking through you. They'd never seen that before. The cameraman from the television station, you know.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard the audio, but I hadn't seen the video. But Brother Ted told me about it, and he said it was pretty wild. It was basically just how it happened.
Well, how'd you feel after we finished casting several dozen spirits out that evening? How'd you feel at the end of it?
Well, I felt pretty light-footed on my feet and had a big old grin on my face. And I just knew that I'd been set free, and it was just indescribable, absolutely indescribable. I was a totally different person. I could tell from first couple of weeks when I got back home, just in my demeanor and what was going on in my life, that I could take a lot more of the ways of the world and all the pressures, and it didn't bother me as much. And started going to church, and I wasn't getting up every Sunday morning with that big old church demon in me saying, "Ah, you don't want to go to church," because it was already cast out of there. So I've got myself into a good church now, and getting fed on Sundays and Wednesdays and care groups, and whenever the doors are open, I tell you, I get in there and keep that word in me, because that's the only thing that keeps those demons out.
Well, that's the proof of the pudding, isn't it, Carl? I mean, did this work or not? And you had sought other help in different directions, and yet here, this going the spiritual route in addressing, and it sounds so far out to the guy on the street that there could actually be demons bothering people in this modern space age, but those things, as they were here in the days of Jesus, as we find, they're still here. But the good news is, so is the Word, and the Word tells us, like Luke 10:19, that we have power over all the enemy. And Mark 16:17, the believers shall cast out demons.
Yes.
It's just that we have to apply the power to see the results. Do you think it was worth it that evening that you spent here?
Oh, I wouldn't. That was probably the best move that I've made in my life today. There's no doubt in my mind. It was just a big turnaround point for me. And ever since then, I've been living for Jesus, and he hasn't failed me, he never has failed me, he ain't gonna fail me. I'm set free.
Did you hear that? That man was set free by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What was it that Jesus said that I read earlier? John said to them, "Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade it, because he followed not us." There's too many of us that think just because someone doesn't follow everything that we teach, that they're going to be cast into hell, that we can't fellowship with them, that we can't learn something from them. Jesus said, "Forbid them not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able to quickly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us." Now, these people are not against us. They're not against the Lord Jesus Christ. They're for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're for defeating Satan and his demons in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is something else that Jesus said? In Luke 10:30, Jesus made answer and said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down the way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And in like manner a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. And he came to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow he took out 2 shillings and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, I, when I come back, will repay thee. Which of these 3, thinkest thou, proved neighbor unto them that fell among the robbers? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto them, go and do thee likewise. How many of us have acted in the past like that priest that passed by on the other side, or acted like the Levite that passed by on the other side? How many of us have failed to act as a Samaritan? Let me ask you this. The Samaritan that found this man, that poured oil and wine on his wounds, that took him to the inn, do you think he might have a testimony that this man will listen to? Do you think that because he took the time to care for him, to show the love of Christ to them, do you think he took the time to do that man that was wounded, that was beaten, that the devil had robbed, might listen to him if he says to him, you need to be baptized? Or if he says to him, you need to do communion every week? Or if he says to them, you need to repent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins? Do you think he's got more weight because he cared enough to take care of him when he was in his wounds and when he was in his agony and his torment and he thought he was going to die? Let's be more like the Samaritan. Let's see what we can do to help our people so that they come to deliverance, so that they are set free in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's show some compassion. Let's show some comfort for our people, and that the blood of Jesus Christ can deliver them, and that hope is alive.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place.
I realize a lot of the things that we're touching on in this program are going to upset many of you. Many of you fine Christian folk. But let me ask you, are we doing as the Lord has instructed us to do, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead? I ask that you genuinely search your heart. I ask you genuinely search the Scriptures. I ask that you consider that maybe that anger that you feel in your spirit, that uncomfortableness that you feel, might not be you. It might not be the Holy Spirit. It may be Satan trying to turn you against this ministry, or against the fact that you can deliver, and that you can deliver people, and that you can be delivered, you and your family. In Luke 10:17, and 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I rejoice that your name is written in heaven. I rejoice that my name is written in heaven. But we have people who here on this earth are suffering. You have bondages upon you. There's things that have been tormenting you, things that you've struggled with all your life, many of you. I know that I have. My friends have. My family has. Let's research. Let's search the Scriptures to find out just how we can walk in the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ and set our people free. That's what this program is all about. Keep us in your prayers. Pray that we not stray from the truth. Just because we're off a little bit from what you believe, don't throw us out with the baby in the washwater. But listen. Let's see what we can do to deliver our people, so that people will know that hope is alive in the name and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those that call upon his name and repent, repent. Not just be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, but repent to have your heart torn, to have that heart of stone turned to a heart of flesh, so that you can call upon the Lord and he will answer you. For hope is alive in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.